big warm bun and a huge hunk of meat. Cheeseburger in paradise.
Is this Max Herz's theme song?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on here?
It's in Florida, baby.
Can we document that he had a cheeseburger for lunch today with Hal Gill and Pete Weber?
He might tell us now.
Okay, well, let's find out. The Predators are in South Florida tonight to take on the Panthers. 94 points on the year for the Panthers. They're outstanding, the defending Eastern Conference champion, and formerly the place where Andrew Burnett became a head coach for the first time. On an interim level, he led them to the President's Trophy. So a lot going on tonight. Can the Predators get their point streak to 16? Let's see if we can find that out. Max Herz is down there. Our coverage will begin later today at 5 o'clock, I believe. Is that correct, Max?
5:30
tonight. So 6:30 start?
Yes.
Ish? Okay. Good to know. So, Max, you were at the morning skate this morning. First of all, any news and notes on lineup changes or anything like that?
The Preds did rush the forward lines that they use for the majority of the game last game, which did have one change. Jason Zucker will play with Luke Evangelista and Colton Sissons, and Anthony Bevilier switched places with Evangelista to play with Tommy Novak and Mark Jankowski. They went with that most of last game. It was the first change they'd had since Bevilier and Zucker joined the team, and those were the lines they flashed this morning, so looks like that's what they'll roll with, at least at the beginning tonight. And also, Kevin Lankinen will be in goal.
Lankinen in goal is an interesting story, and I do think that was probably maybe overlooked. I know it took us a couple of shifts to realize it was, permanent within the game, is splitting Zucker and Beauvillier, putting them on separate lines, and it seemed to work. Zucker, in particular, had a great game against the Sharks, and maybe being on the left side is easier for him to do his thing?
Yeah, I think that may have something to do with it, and it's a bump up in ice time for Evangelista, too, so he certainly deserves the extra ice time. I thought maybe in the first half of that game, Evangelista, Novak, and Jankowski weren't creating as much as they had been, but it was kind of a down first half of the game for the entire Preds group on Tuesday, and then they end up scoring 7 in a row, so no reason to unchange what you changed when that happens, right?
Yeah, it is, Max. Now, why this game is Lankinen in the net as opposed to UC Saros? Saros has been playing great. Lankinen has been playing really good as well. But why do you believe they choose to go with Lankinen instead of Saros this game, considering who the opponent is?
Yeah, I don't have a firm answer for you, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Andrew Burnett has said a couple of times this week he was asked why Saros on Tuesday in his pregame press conference, and then today in his press conference was asked why Lankinen, and he's basically just said we're staying on schedule. So goalie coach Ben Vanderklok lays out the goalie schedule, and over the 2 years that Lankinen's been the backup, and to specifically look at this season as well, since you've had a different head coach this year, but it's really Ben Vanderklok who makes most of the schedule, and the coach will have some input, but the goalie coach gets to do most of that stuff, and obviously will bounce it off of them. But it's been mostly road starts for Lankinen outside of back-to-backs. I think they like Lankinen as the road warrior more and want to make sure they have Saros in there to defend home ice as much as they can. So I think that's maybe the reason why, but Lankinen just keeps getting these road starts against top teams in the NHL, and he wins more than half of them, which is incredibly impressive when you're really only playing once every 2 weeks.
Now, what do you expect to see out of this Predators team tonight? Because obviously people are deeming this a measuring stick game. Once again, they had one of those sort of games against Colorado. We see how they dominated Colorado. It score ended up being, 4-2, 4-1, but it wasn't really that close. And now you have another game against Florida that many are saying a measuring stick game. But what do you expect to see out of the Predators tonight?
Yeah, the Panthers are really, really good. And Burnett has said multiple times this week this is the most likely team in the NHL to win the Stanley Cup, and obviously he knows much more than I do, but I would tend to agree even without having heard him say that. And he knows this group so well. He was an assistant coach here. He was the interim head coach here 2 years ago, and this is his first time back coaching against the Panthers in Florida as a head coach since they chose not to retain him after his great year as the interim head coach. So it's the money on the board game. It's a big-time money on the board game for the head Fred, and 15-game point streak going, playing for your head coach in a game that you know you need for him. There's going to be a lot of extra motivation for the Preds coming into this one, in addition to the fact that they want to prove that they can run with the biggest of big dogs, or I guess for the Panthers, the biggest of big cats down here, and show that they can compete with probably the best structural team in the NHL that gives up so little. They have three lines that would be a top line for most other teams. They have some bite on their fourth line with Nick Cousins, who we know. They've got a really solid decor, and they've got great goaltending. So they are the closest thing in the NHL right now to a 100% complete team. So this is going to be a great test for the Predators, who have been a full 18-man unit the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, now, and I was going to bring that up too, Max, in regards to now it seems like this team is a more balanced team, and you don't see that throughout the league. And we questioned at one point whether this was a balanced team or not because they were so top-heavy. But now it seems like they're getting contributions from the second, third, and even the fourth line. Do you expect this to continue as they move further on in the season?
You'd hope so. And if they're going to compete in the playoffs and first make the playoffs, that has to come first. But if they're going to keep this going and win the games they need to make it and then potentially compete in a first-round series against probably a division winner, the way the wild card format shakes up for you, they're going to have to get it from everybody. Because even if they're getting two goals a game from the top line, which has been the norm throughout a lot of the season, they're going to need more than that. They're probably going to need at least three or four goals a game to win. And they've gotten four goals a game throughout this 15-game point streak, and they've only won one game by a single goal. Every other game they've won by multiple. But you know in the playoffs it'll tighten up. They're going to need everything they can get. Every line has been good defensively as well, which is a massive, massive deal. So they're a deep team right now. Even though they're missing three defensemen, they've got everybody they can trust. There's no one they don't trust who's getting in this lineup. They found the lineup they like, and it's paid big dividends.
It looks like it will be a good test tonight for Del Guizzo going up against such a fierce team in Florida. So with that in mind, Max, you know, here in Nashville, it's not like it is in Toronto or New York with the media following. Florida, definitely not. They don't have a ton of media covering their team down there. The Brunette coaching against the Panthers story, I would think, would be a huge story. With ESPN there tonight, what do you think they will do with that story?
Yeah, I think it's a big story for sure. And pretty much Bruno's entire press conference this morning, although there were not a lot of reporters there, but it was all about his time here. And we've heard him answer these questions before, Willie, about coaching against the Panthers or having the chance to be an interim coach and doing well, then becoming an associate head coach with the Devils last year, and now getting a chance to be a head coach again in this cycle for the first time without the interim label. So I know this means a ton to him. I remember it was surprising to a lot of people when it happened that the Panthers chose not to retain Andrew Brunette as their head coach when he coached 95% of the season and led them to the President's Trophy. And it's worked out for them. They got Paul Maurice, who's a great veteran coach. They went to the Cup Final last year as the eighth seed. They're probably the Cup favorite if the playoffs started today this season. But it's a huge story for sure, and there's winners on both sides of this. I mean, both sides of that breakup are doing unbelievably well right now, and with both of them going head-to-head at their peaks, you know that's going to be front of mind for everybody with this matchup.
Do we know who the ESPN announcers are tonight?
Yes, it's Bob Wischusen and Kevin Weeks.
Okay, so good team. Kevin Weeks with some ties down there. And anything on the Panthers lineup? I know Aaron Ekblad has been out for them. I see Alexander Barkov, who was a true number one center. He has been banged up a little bit. Is he a go tonight?
We don't know for sure. It's kind of a weird situation for the Panthers right now because they haven't played since Saturday. But they've got two injuries to their two best players, and then also they have a suspension from a hit that happened almost a full week ago that doesn't start until tonight. So Dmitry Kulikov is suspended for this game for a dirty hit on Connor Sherry over the weekend. So they're down a defenseman. So Tobias Bjornfoot is going to make his Panthers debut, who is a peer of Sam Fagimo and Jared Anderson Dolan in that he's a good prospect, but he was a casualty of the Kings just having so many. So he's played for three teams this year. He's going to make his Panthers debut on the third D pair tonight. And we don't know about Barkov. He may play, may not play. I'm actually just seeing now it may not be Bjornfoot who plays. So don't listen to me about the third pair defense on the other team thing. But Tkachuk will play. Barkov, game time decision. And that's obviously a huge absence for the Panthers because, as I said, their strength is defensive structure and shutting teams down and eliminating puck possession. And Barkov, their captain, is the best defensive forward in the NHL.
The Panthers give up the second fewest goals per game in the entire NHL, 2.41. So they are very, very stingy. And, oh, by the way, they score 3.26. So they've got the offense to go with it. Max, really good stuff. Thanks for joining us, and have a great broadcast tonight.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
5:30 for the start of Max's coverage. Pete and Hal on the call from South Florida tonight. The Predators taking on the Panthers. Can they get the streak to 16? We shall see. And we're going to talk more hockey in a moment with Elliot Friedman. We're going to ask Elliot. We're going to put him on the spot. Where is Roman Josi right now in his mind in the race for the Norris Trophy? Roman Josi has been playing so well, so well. 7 points in the last three games. 3 points the other night, just taking the team to another level when they were behind 2-1. Two enormous plays in each of the last two wins, at Winnipeg and then at Seattle. He is playing really, really well. To quote Barry Trotz, he's the best defenseman on the planet right now. Let's give you a quick scoreboard update. D-Mace is feeling pretty good. Michigan State has grown the lead to 15. 60-45, 7:38 to go in the second half, trying to eliminate Nick Frazier's beloved Mississippi State Bulldogs. The Spartans doing their thing. They've really led throughout in this game.
Yeah, they've had control of this game throughout. They haven't trailed in this game at all, and it seems like they're wearing Mississippi State down just a tad bit. They're a little lax on their defense every once in a while, but it seems like they tend to pick it back up once the score starts to shrink a little bit. So I'm looking at my Spartans. Go green, go white. We're looking to defeat Mississippi State and move on to the next round.
Move on to the next round. You guys got it. Yeah. Look at North Carolina.
It's still 7 minutes left, Nick. Come on.
Stop it.
Still 7 minutes left.
Duquesne and BYU are underway in the second half. Duquesne led 38-30 at the half. They just had a play for a rebound on the first possession of the second half, and they had a scrap. It was like a jump ball. Two guys went after it, playing hard, and then it got feisty. Everybody kind of huddled up, tempers flared, and I guess they got to go to the replay here and see what happened. This is one of those. I mean, they were battling for this loose ball. It was one of those where it was a tie-up. It was a jump ball, but nobody wanted to give away the ball, and they just kept going after it on the floor. So we'll see what happens with that. And Akron and Creighton are tied at 27. The 14 seed Akron zips, even with the 3 seed Creighton, with 7:22 in the first half. Tennessee fans will be watching very closely at that one. When we come back, Elliot Friedman joins us. We'll have our weekly chat with him going around the NHL. Stay tuned. We're coming back after this.